They rode horses to El Paso, Chet and Heck, with a pack horse carrying war bags and bedding. Drinking water got to tasting worse by the day, and the temperature soared higher as they crossed a land filled with creosote bushes, a few jackrabbits, and some rattlesnakes. In 2 weeks, they arrived in El Paso. Chet sold the horses, and they boarded the stage line that ran to Tucson. They crossed more desolate land over New Mexico and eventually, somewhere into eastern Arizona, saw their first saguaro cactus. May heat was turning the winter growth of annuals to brown when they arrived in the hot, walled town of Tucson. Two dead burros lay in the street. Hogs kept cool in the depressions where the slop water was tossed out. Drunk, dark-skinned people were passed out on the walks. The two quickly bought tickets to Papago Wells and were on their way to Phoenix. A man on the stage out of El Paso had spoken about Prescott in the Pines, but the stage agent in Tucson told him that the man had meant Prescott and that there was a daily stage from Phoenix to there every day. So far, the Cactus Spike Desert didn't look like ideal ranching country to Chet. Maybe his entire search was going to be a waste of time. No telling. He hoped Prescott, or as the native folks called it, Prescott, would offer him a better-looking area to find a ranch. Road-weary, they climbed on the Black Canyon stage line coach in Phoenix, a dusty small town along the Salt River surrounded by low mountains. The driver let Heck sit on top, and they were off rocking in the coach. A woman in her 20s, who wore an expensive dress, shared the coach with Chet. She dressed like Louise and made him wonder how much help his aunt was offering Susie.
Pardon me, are you a stockman?
In Texas, yes, ma'am.
Well, what brings you to Arizona territory?
She was trying to cool her smooth face with a small Chinese fan.
I'm looking for a ranch.
I'm going to Prescott?
Yes, as a matter of fact. They told me the climate was much cooler up there than down here.
Oh, yes, it is. My name is Margaret Christensen. We own the LYT ranch up there.
My name's Chet Burns. I live near Mason, Texas. Our brand is the Bar C.
Oh, how nice to meet you, Mr. Burns.
Chet, please, Miss Christensen.
Oh, Margaret is fine. How large a ranch are you considering buying?
As much as my money can afford.
Oh, that could be anything out here.
I understand. I'm not familiar with the land market, but I'm mainly looking for a place that suits me.
The hot air that flew through the passenger compartment felt dry. The steep, rocky land on the side of the mountain that he could almost reach out and touch looked like a tough place to handle cattle. Those towering cactus and beds of prickly pear he recognized, but there were other plants that looked real stickery.
Do you have a family?
Yes, my own family, but I have no wife. The boy on top is my nephew. His father, my brother, was killed last year on a cattle drive to Kansas.
Oh, how unfortunate. Well, our ranch is close to Prescott, so if you're around, drop by the LYT. It's easy to find.
Well, thank you. I'd offer you the same, but my home's outside of Mason, Texas, and I doubt that you'd ever come close to it.
One never can tell, Chet.
No, I guess not, ma'am.
At least this trip so far, we have not been held up.
Is that a usual part of this business of stage riding?
I never carry much money with me. Once I said I had none to the hold-up men, and they, well, practically undressed me in the road to try and find some. I was very embarrassed.
Did they ever catch them?
Law? Oh, why, lands, no. This is a very lawless place, this Black Canyon Run.
I guess you can expect anything then from these bandits.
In the case of a robbery, I always give them a small amount of money since that horrible incident. Did you have some bad experience in your life happen?
What do you consider bad?
I'm sorry. I was simply curious. You have no wife?
No wife.
I can see that I am inquiring too deeply in your life, Chet.
Well, ma'am, my father lost his mind years ago searching for two of my brothers and one sister that the Comanche kidnapped. My mother died in mental distress. My aunt lost a husband in the Civil War. My brother left several children from his first marriage and a baby by his second wife. Did I mention he was shot down last spring in Kansas? And currently, we're engaged in a Texas blood feud with another family because we hung their son for being a horse thief.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No need. These are my problems. We thought a place in a new country might give us all a new start.
I can see where you are going. Come by the ranch when you're in the area. If you have any questions, my father knows the ranching business in Arizona. His name is Harold McClure.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Chet looked out the window of the stagecoach and liked the looks of the forage and could envision how a cow could eat it. After all the desert they'd crossed, he finally had found real rangeland. This country looked like home to him. He looked across the hills and saw evergreens appearing that looked like red cedar on the hillsides.
What are they?
With a rise in elevation, the junipers begin to dot the land. A sign they get more moisture up here. Next, we'll get into the pine country. Prescott is in the pine country. You'll find lots of good ranch country at this elevation. Welcome to my land, Chet.
I can sure see that.
They arrived in Prescott after dark. He and Heck unloaded their saddles and pack gear on the stage line off his porch. A well-dressed man with silver sideburns stepped out.
How are you, Margaret?
Wonderful. I want you to meet a man looking for a ranch up here. Meet Chet Burns. This is my father, Harold McClure.
Good to meet you, sir.
Welcome to the territory. We can use more serious ranchers in this region.
Thank you. I'm enjoying this much cooler air. My nephew and I have been coming for several weeks across the true desert to get here. Very nice place.
Well, come out and see us someday. Our ranch is east of here.
Heck, and I will try to do that.
At dawn, they found a hole-in-the-wall cafe, but the one row of stools down a long counter proved to be a great place to eat breakfast. Eggs as you like them, fried side meat, biscuits, and thick gravy. Rich coffee, too.
What do we do next?
We'll buy three horses at the livery stable and talk to some land agents.
What do they tell us?
What ranches they have for sale.
Sounds interesting. I'm proud you brought me along. I sure seen lots of country.
Chet clapped the boy on his shoulder.
And there's lots more to look at, Heck.
At the stables, a tall, lanky, red-faced man in his 40s with freckles came out to greet them.
Howdy! I'm Luther Frey. What can I do for you gents?
Nice to meet you, Mr. Frey. I'm Chester Burns, and this is my nephew, Heck. We're needing two good saddle horses and a pack horse or mule.
Where are you from?
Texas Hill Country.
My, you two have come a fur piece. Let's see what we can do for you.
They walked over to the ponies in the corral.
That roan is 5. He's a ranch horse, and you can rope from him. Sound as a drum. That bay, he's 4, and I think he'd suit your nephew. But I got more in there might work. I also have a well-broke mule for a pack animal. He's got some age on him, but good teeth, and he knows the job. He'll keep up with your horses.
If they suit us, how much do you want for them?
Roan's worth 30, the bay 25, and the mule 20.
I'll give you 70.
Agreed.
Our rigs are up at the stage office.
I have a buckboard hitched out front. Man won't need it for an hour. Go get your things in it.
You're a mighty obliging man, Mr. Frey. They told us that down at the cafe.
I'm in business, and I want to stay in business. What's yours?
We're looking for a ranch to buy.
You ever need anything again, come see me. I've been here about 10 years and know most folks. Good luck.
At last, the saddles were recovered along with their bedding and camp supplies. They jogged up the steep street headed east. The road led over the pine-clad hills to a widespread valley and past the ranch gate with the LYT brand nailed on top of the crossbar. The big house and outfit sat a good quarter mile down a lane from the gate.
We gonna stop by and see her again?
Maybe later, Heck.
Chet wasn't satisfied. He knew the lady's real purpose in inviting him to their place. But he'd find out sometime when he didn't have so much on his mind as finding the bar C a new home. He wondered what Catherine was doing that day. They rode east and saw several range cattle doing fine. Most of the outfits they passed, he decided, were 160-acre homesteads. A few had planted orchards, others had large gardens, by his observation. He wanted a ranch, not a farm. But he might change his mind. He had both back home. Chet and the boy put off dropping down into the Verde River Valley until they had more time. But Chet was glad to be back in the saddle, and knew Fry had sold him some good mounts. By late afternoon, they returned and stabled their horses. He sent Heck off to buy some candy and told them they'd meet at that one row of stools cafe around 5. In the meantime, he thought he might plumb the local lay of the land. He stepped into the Palace Saloon in the middle of the block of saloons facing the courthouse called Whiskey Row. He entered the 2-story room and saw the ornate wooden bar and brass rail on the left.
Beer, please.
A lot of art and taxidermy hung on the walls. Chet picked up his beer and took it to a table to appraise things. The beer was cold. They must have ice. In Texas, they imported some ice in places like San Antonio, but most of it was gone by May. The barmaid came by with a towel over her arm. Still in her late teens, short, too. She had a hardness about her that even her smile could not erase.
Howdy, mister. I'm Jane. Can I get you anything? If you're interested in more than something besides the menu, I get off at midnight.
I'll pass, but thank you. Are there any land agents in here?
She cut a glance at the men at the bar and then nodded.
Yeah, Bo Harold, the guy in the brown suit with a small brim hat. Want to talk to him?
He honest?
Honest as most men.
Tell him if he gets time to come over and talk to me.
Sure, bet he'll be glad to. I never caught your name.
Chet Burns.
Well, nice to meet you, Chet Burns. That man's Chet Burns, and he's interested in buying some land.
The man soon joined him.
What may I help you with, Mr. Burns?
Have a seat, Mr. Harold. My name's Chet.
Well, Chet, Bo's mine. What brings you to Prescott?
I need a ranch.
I have some listings. How big?
How big you got?
You must come from Texas.
As a matter of fact, I live in the Texas Hill Country.
I have a large ranch for sale down in the Verde Valley. 3 sections of deeded land. That's big in Arizona. I can show it to you tomorrow. Good water rights, some irrigated land, and set up where you can run 1,000 cows. What do you think?
Why don't we go see it tomorrow? I have horses at Frey's stable. What time?
How does 6 a.m. sound?
We'll be saddled up and ready to go by then. Meet you at Jenny's Cafe?
Very good. I'll meet you there. You'll love this ranch.
What do they call it?
Quarter Circle Z. Best ranch in this country. Let me buy you another beer.
Thank you, but I have a man to meet.
Chet realized it would soon be sundown. Mid-April, it still went down early. Heck might worry that he had forgotten him. What did they price the ranch for? It could be more than he could afford. Still, he wanted to see it. Regardless of the asking price, he'd look at it anyway. He spotted Heck waiting in front of the cafe.
How'd things go?
Fine, Chet. You learn anything?
Well, tomorrow we're going to the Verde River with a land agent named Harold and look at a large ranch.
We're gonna buy it?
Look at it. Lordy, it may be too costly for us to afford.
How much is that?
We'll see.
He motioned for Heck to get on a stool. A sassy older waitress with a blonde hair braid that coiled on her head came to take their order.
Well, what'd you two see today?
All the country we could see east of town. We must have rode 100 miles.
Where do you plan to go tomorrow?
Verde Valley.
Oh, that should be interesting.
You know something about the Quarter Circle Z?
Who knows? He used to work down there.
She waved to a short, nearly crippled cowboy for him to come over.
Hoot, tell my new friends here from Texas about Tally's ranch.
The man took a stool beside Chet and nodded.
They've got it for sale.
A land agent told me they did. Why?
They don't live here. Bastard named Ryan runs it for them. He's a crooked sumbitch and I hate him.
Where do the owners live?
St. Charles, Missouri. They seldom come out here. Ryan does what he wants out there. I'd sell it too. They must be afraid to fire him. I bet that's why. He's a tough hombre. I broke my leg in a horse wreck doing my job. One of the boys brought me in here to the docks and left me. Next day, Ryan came by Doc's office where I was in bed and fired me. Said if I couldn't keep from having wrecks, he didn't need me.
Did he pay the doctor bill?
Hell no!
Sounds like a real nice guy.
Yeah. What's the ranch like?
They got 40 acres of alfalfa. It's a good crop. And that much timothy plus another 40 in corn.
Who farms it?
Yeah, some Mexican folks work for a guy who does the farm work. His name's Chandler.
What else?
Ryan ain't supposed to. I know that much, but he lives in the big house with some Mexican woman. They moved out of the house when the Tallies came out here last time, but as soon as they left for Missouri, he moved right back in. I heard old man Tally say for him not to live in the main house when he was gone. Ryan's ornery as a bull, I tell you. He may not even let you look at the place.
Let me buy you supper, Hoot. I'm Chet Burns, and this is my nephew, Heck. I may hire you to show me the place if we like it.
I'd be real proud to do that, Mr. Burns. Jenny knows how to get hold of me, and thanks for the meal.
The man hobbled out the door, and Chet nodded.
Well, we learned something, Heck.
Sounds like this Ryan may learn about us, huh?
Yeah. We better eat. We have to get up early to meet Harold.
In the morning, they met Bo Harold for breakfast and short-loped their horses to the edge of the great escarpment that overlooked the Verde River and the wide basin. Far to the north, another great wall rose up, and beyond that, the San Francisco peaks showed their snow-white tops. Before the breathtaking view, they started down the steep road that clung to the east side wall and practically dove off into the valley. Mid-morning, they reached the floor and rode west along the cottonwood-lined river. Red mesas rose in the north, and the junipers were everywhere. Some had been burned out in grass fires in years past, and the grass had taken back the land. They soon saw the large house on the rise, windmills, corrals, and outbuildings.
We gonna get a chance to see this place?
Why, of course. I'm Mr. Talley's agent.
Folks say this ranch foreman Ryan don't want him to sell out.
He is a mere employee. He has no say-so about the sale whatsoever.
I heard he ran some folks off.
Not who I brought out here.
Good.
They were telling lies. Mr. Talley wants to sell this place. He lives in St. Charles, outside of St. Louis, and has no time or a quick way to get out here. He was promised a railroad to Flagstaff when he bought it, and that is why he invested in the ranch. The rails are coming very slow. In some years, they even stop building track whenever the stock markets get bad in New York.
They do that all over Texas, too.
Mr. Ryan will be no problem.
Well, that's good to hear.
Chet winked privately at Heck. He never believed that part of the man's conversation. But a land agent was allowed a few exaggerations. They reached the house. A pregnant Mexican woman in her 20s came to the door.
Go away. My husband is not home. I have no time for you.
Mrs. Ryan?
Of course I'm his wife, but I have no time for you.
I am the agent that Mr. Talley hired to sell this ranch.
Not for sale. My husband, he said this ranch not for sale.
Excuse me, I'm going to show these gentlemen the house. Stand aside.
She tried to kick him, but with his hand on her forehead, he drove her backwards. Chet and Heck tried not to laugh at Harold's plight. The two front doors they passed through were 12 feet tall, ornately carved with brass door handles. Once inside, they saw him gently driving her off to the back.
Hijo de puta!
The tile floors were gritty and cobwebs were everywhere. They found the bedroom that the Ryans must sleep in. A great feather bed, waist high, with a shelf around it to get up on. And the headboard was also carved. The room smelled stale like dirty socks. Chet counted 6 bedrooms downstairs and guessed there were more on the second floor. One room downstairs was an office with a large green safe that was closed, but he could see not locked. He sent Heck up the wide staircase to count the rest. The house looked big enough for his tribe. It needed a good cleaning, but other than that, it should suit his family. The gentle spring wind should soon clear out much of the closed-up smells. Ryan's wife and 3 other Mexican women were in the kitchen being contained by Harold. Chet decided that the spacious kitchen would please his sister. Large ranges and prep tables and running water from a tank. Obviously, Tally had spared no money freighting all that in there, plus the material for the house and the furniture from Mexico.
There are 6 more upstairs, all full of beds and furniture.
This place was a palace. The problem was, could he afford it? The land, house, and the rest would bring a fortune in the Texas Hill Country. What he knew about irrigation would fit in a thimble, but the native Mexican people would know how. He wasn't a farmer at home either, but he had learned what he needed to do.
Shall we look at the outbuildings?
Sure, why not?
They left the woman in the house and went out through a once garden that had been let go and out the gate of the walled area. For Indian defense, he knew about such areas. They had the Apaches there, like the Comanche had been in Texas. He liked the layout of the pens and saw that lots of alfalfa hay had been wasted. Several rails were missing in the corrals and pigs were running loose. All in all, it could be a real ranch headquarters. Harold shook his head.
I wouldn't even ask those slobby housekeepers for lunch, even though it is long past that time.
Guess we'll starve, huh?
No, I'll find us some food. Let's ride upstream and I can show you the small dam and the diversion canal that feeds this place.
Well, they sure are wrecking this ranch. Then it falls in such disarray after he spent so much money building it.
It is a grand place, isn't it?
I like it. What does he want for it, Mr. Harold?
$25,000.
That includes his livestock?
Yeah.
How many head will he guarantee?
300 mother cows and 100 head of horses.
Where are they?
Out on the open range.
What if they aren't all there?
Oh, they're here all right. Roundup round here is a big business. There are lots of cattle out on these ranges.
When's roundup time?
In May.
How many men do I have to furnish if I buy this place?
Two or three for the 6 weeks, if it takes that long.
Well, they're gonna start the roundup then.
Oh, yes.
Let's say I pay Tally $10,000 down, and all the cows are worth $15. Then the difference is 300 head he credits me. Same on the horses at 30 per head.
I would have to ask him by wire if he would do that.
Good. I can have my bank in San Antonio wire him the money once they confirm he's signed the mortgage agreement. The balance I'll pay in 2 years at 6% interest. There are no liens or loans on this ranch.
None, but we can be certain by checking with the clerk in Prescott.
Is Tally that afraid of Ryan?
What do you mean?
Word is that the man back east is so afraid of his foreman that he's selling it.
Oh, I can't believe.
Yes, you can. He's walked away from it.
All right. And if I had that much money, I'd own it myself today.
You aren't afraid of Ryan at all?
I brought you down here today, didn't I?
You sure did. Wire Tally and give him my offer. The Stockman's Bank in San Antonio will tell him all about me. I've never missed paying any note I owed.
How in the hell did you ever gather that much money?
Driving cattle to Kansas over the last few years.
What makes you think the cattle count might not be there?
Well, the way the ranch is being run, I bet there ain't a quarter of the horses he thinks there is.
Where do they go?
I bet the sheriff can find where Ryan sold them.
Chet twisted in the saddle to look back one more time at the large house.
Ryan?
Whoever did it.
Well past midnight, Chet and Heck parted with Harold and made for the stables in Prescott. Heck proved excited.
I wanted to ask you all day. You think we'll get that place?
Good thing you didn't. They might ask for more money.
That is a good price, isn't it?
Sure, but between Ryan and the fact that the folks avoid him, it may not be such a bargain. I need to line up some tough cowboys. I figure to take that place. I wonder why Tally didn't get the sheriff to evict him.
That's strange, isn't it?
Maybe Tally couldn't find enough tough hands to back him. In a few days, we'll know the answer. Let's get some sleep.
Well, I think even Louise will like that place.
You might be right.
They started the next morning in the cafe.
Jenny, would you send for Hoot?
You're gonna make that old man's day.
Good. We're gonna need a half dozen good men as well. You think we can find him?
Sure. He knows every ranch hand in the territory that's worth his salt.
Good.
The coffee was hot enough to make his tongue tender, but the first burst of it filled his mouth with saliva. The rich taste exploded in his brain, and he savored Jenny's words. He needed the toughest men he could hire. Ryan would not go without a fight unless he was outnumbered, outgunned, and he knew they would wipe him out. Chet regretted that Ryan had not been available so he could have studied the man in person. A bully was a bully, but this might be the toughest man he'd ever faced. Communication with the owner would take Harold some time. The ranch owner, Tally, might want to check with his bankers in San Antonio. No reason to think they wouldn't immediately answer him, but again, that would take time. He'd have to trust that Harold was pressing for an answer. Hoot arrived before he and Heck finished their breakfast.
Morning, gents.
Morning, Hoot. Would you like some breakfast?
No, but thanks.
Jenny, put Hoot on my tab for 3 meals a day until I have to leave.
Sure.
I didn't come for a handout.
It isn't a handout. You're on my payroll. While we work on buying the Quarter Circle Z, I want you to find me a handful of good men with lots of backbone.
How many is that?
About 4 or 5. I want real cowboys with lots of bottom. This may get tough if we have to evict Ryan.
I know the men we need.
Roundup's coming. We're going to need to do several things before that time.
Will they ride?
You think the ranch horses are gone, too?
Well, there haven't been many, I can tell you, in the year I worked there.
This is the most serious thing I can think of. Bo Harold thought they were out on the range.
We can go look, but I don't recall seeing many.
Can we slip in and look for them? You draw us a map of where to look?
I can get a good wrangler to go with you. He ain't working and has a good horse or two of his own to use.
Who is he?
Tom Flowers.
Where does he live?
He's on a small place in Prescott Valley.
Heck can find him.
Sure, I can fix him a map. Tom needs some work, like them others.
Chet stopped Jenny when she came by.
Jenny, we need some butcher paper and a lead pencil.
I'll get some as soon as I set down these plates.
Wonderful.
Things were beginning to take shape. There were still lots of problems that could trip him.
Heck, once we've drawn out the map, I want you to invite Flowers to come in here.
You bet.
Tell him we have a good job for him if things work out.
I can do that.
Is he a tough man, Hoot?
He'll sure do to ride hell with.
The old man neatly drew a map on the paper and pointed out the features where to turn off the main road. Heck was up in a shot.
Heck, don't run that horse into the ground.
Can he deliver the message?
A year ago, he rode back from the Indian Territory to get me when his father was killed by rustlers on a cattle drive. He can get your man back here in a few hours. Bo Harold says cattle count is 300 mother cows.
Maybe half that many. Ryan has sold the heifers every year for the past 3 or 4. Some of them cows haven't got a tooth in their head.
Where'd they go?
Died, I guess. He sold lots of calves right off the cows.
Why has he sold them as calves? They ain't worth anything. You mean there aren't any yearlings?
Not many.
100 head?
I don't know. Ryan's been working with only a few ranch hands, so some may have escaped. We were working some yearlings up in the North Canyon country. He said he needed them to pay for his expenses.
Who bought them?
Some dealer named Young up at Ash Fork.
Isn't that a strange place to sell them?
You tell me.
I'm gonna try and see the sheriff today. What are your thoughts?
I'm not sure. He's an office man who sends out deputies to do his field work. He might give you a deputy or two, but I doubt it.
Two men came into the cafe and nodded at Hoot.
How are you making it, old man?
Fine, without the likes of you.
Hell, it wasn't our fault Ryan fired you.
The thinner one adjusted his gun belt around his waist and searched around with a hard look.
You seen that damn Bo Harold? He upset Ryan's wife yesterday. I think he must have tried to rape her.
So?
He sent us to teach him a lesson. That damn land agent needs to know he has no business stepping on the Quarter Circle Z land.
Hoot nodded and the pair started for the door.
Real easy. Drop them gun belts on the floor and then get your hands up high.
They reached carefully for their belts.
Who in the hell are you?
I was there with Harold yesterday. She wasn't raped or even manhandled, despite her mouthy charges.
You taking sides with him?
I guess so. I don't want a hair on him hurt. And if I learn you did anything to him, you better go to wearing your Sunday clothing, because that's what you're going to be buried in.
Who the hell are you?
The man that's going after you if you don't beat it out of town.
Can we have our guns back?
Hell no!
Chet gave a shove out the door.
Get out of town and be quick about it.
We're going. But you ain't heard the end of this. But till Ryan gets word of this, mister, you're a dead dude.
Tell him my name is Burns. Chet Burns. And maybe he'll think better about going to his own death.
You'll see. You'll see.
Chet watched them ride off. Good, they went east. Meant they were headed for the ranch. He needed to find Harold and warn him to be ready. At the palace, he found the young barmaid Jane working the early shift.
Morning, Jane. Have you seen that land dealer, Bo Harold?
Oh, he's gone to the telegraph office. Said he had lots to do today.
Thanks.
The incident at the cafe had upset him. He needed Harold in good health to make this deal. Ryan would increase his pressure when he realized the ranch might sell, and he'd lose his stranglehold on the thing that was his golden goose. The Western Telegraph office had several people inside. He found Harold reading the latest copy of the Prescott Miner newspaper.
What do you need?
I just disarmed two of Ryan's cowboys down at Jenny's Cafe, who came to town claiming you raped Ryan's wife yesterday.
What? Were they crazy?
You better get a gun or hire one, because Ryan's going to send them or someone else back. Have you heard from Tally?
Not yet. I sent it early this morning. What did his men say about me?
Something about teaching you a lesson for messing with his wife. I know you didn't do much but push her into the kitchen. You had the right to show me the house.
Telegram, Mr. Harold?
I did. Wait, they have a telegram for me.
What did he say?
That he does not want to sell it that cheap.
What else?
Ask the sale prospect for more money. Stop. I need at least $25,000 for the ranch.
You tell him the ranch livestock has been rustled by his own foreman. The house is in ruins according to the buyer, too.
I can do that.
Tell him that I would guarantee him $22,000, but I want the livestock count up to his numbers. Those he can pay for out of the final $10,000.
That may help.
We don't have much time to act. You tell him that things are going sour at the ranch. If he accepts that, then have him send approval for the buyer to take charge of the ranch at once, before they destroy it further. I'll be at Jenny's Cafe.
It may take hours to do.
The clock is ticking, my friend.
Coming down the hill, he saw Heck's bay horse hitched with another in front. Tom Flowers was a medium-built man with clear blue eyes. Chet guessed him to be in his mid-30s. He had a slight smile and a nod when they shook hands.
Yo. Hoot says you have work?
I'm in the process of buying the Quarter Circle Z. I need to hire a crew. Right now, this animal count interests me most. Hoot thinks you have no respect for this Ryan.
Hoot underestimates my hatred for the man. What are your plans?
Bo Harrell's negotiating an agreement on price. I've asked Tally to give me control of the ranch so I can run Ryan and his men off. We haven't heard on that yet, but Ryan doesn't need to know that. Tomorrow I want to look for the Ramuda he counts as 100 head.
Count me in.
I pay 35 and found. You won't make less than 2 months' pay.
Fair enough.
If the deal goes, I'll need to go back to Texas and settle my business there. That may take a year. I want some honest men to work for me. Hoot, I figure, can cook, and we'll get the rest of our crew, I guess, from former ranch hands who all seem to hate Ryan.
They won't be hard to find.
Good. This ranch buying business is getting tough. Let's make a 3-day hitch covering part of the range and look for the horses. Meet us on the road to Camp Verde early tomorrow. Heck, you and me, Hoot can keep an eye on Harold. I'll get enough supplies to feed us.
Sounds good. I better go home and tell the wife I'm working again and get everything fixed so she don't have any trouble.
Chet agreed and they shook hands. Then Tom left.
Like him?
Yes, you did good.
The other two are doing day work this week for a rancher over east, but they should be back here by Sunday.
Good. I better get us some grub. You coming, Heck?
If I can ride my horse.
Sure.
They went into the big mercantile on the square. The place was busy with business, and a young clerk finally waved them to the counter.
How can I help you? My name's Franklin.
Mine's Chet Burns, and this is my nephew, Heck.
Pleased to meet you. What do you need?
A slab of bacon, 5 pounds of rice, 5 pounds of brown beans, 5 pounds of flour, baking soda, 2 pounds of sugar, coffee, and 2 pounds of raisins, plus a can of lard. Heck, you think anything else we need?
Some dry apples.
Put them in, too.
Where are you going?
Bear hunting.
Grizzly?
Yeah.
Woo! Be careful. They can be mean.
We go all over doing this. That clerk in there thought we were real bear hunters.
He's a town kid.
I'll take it to the stable so we can pack it on that mule. I sure like her food. We gonna eat supper at the cafe tonight?
Yeah, I'll meet you over there later, and we'll sure need some sleep tonight. We're going to put some miles on our ponies the next few days. If there aren't any horses, we'll need some, and soon.
Chet had found the ranch he really needed, but he might have bought a dry well. Tom should know the range well enough, and if there were any ranch horses left, he would find them. It would be hard for him to sleep, knowing he was going on such a mission. Damn. Harold bolted up from his seat on the bench when Chet came into the clacking office. He looked wide-eyed.
Where have you been?
Getting supplies to make a quick ride over part of the ranch's range.
Tally said he'd take your deal. You have his authority to take over the ranch.
No one needs to know that.
He took Harold outside by the sleeve.
No one needs to know this yet.
I know. Here's Tally's last telegram. Tell the buyer to take control of the ranch. I will wire the Arizona Territorial Bank to stop Ryan's use of that account. I will need the $10,000 as soon as is possible. I understand the money is in his Texas bank. They said on the buyer's word they would transfer it to me.
You get Tally's signature on a deed to me. Make it to Chester Burns and he can have the money. I want him to release the brand too.
Harold nodded and sagged against the wall of the brick building.
At this distance, what you and he expect of me, it is hard to do that quickly.
Bank is still open. Who handles his account?
Mr. Tanner.
Well, let's go talk to him.
Harold moved along beside him, shaking his head. They hurried to the bank. They soon were ushered into the bank manager's office. The gray-headed man in the brown suit rose and greeted them.
Albert Tanner, gentlemen. Please have a seat.
Mr. Burns is buying the Tally operation. Tally has agreed to sell him the ranch. I have his wire right here.
We were notified today not to honor any more of Ryan's checks. What is wrong out there?
Chet here, is buying the ranch. He thinks the property is way short on the livestock that has been sold off by, well, Ryan.
My goodness. The man's been in charge of that operation for several years.
And the owner being absentee, Ryan's had a lot of opportunities to remove livestock, according to some previous workers that I've interviewed.
I understand. I've already sent a warning to all the people he deals with in town not to take his checks.
Fair enough. I'll start an account in your bank in a few days for the new ranch.
I would appreciate that. When are you taking over?
I want to make a survey of the livestock, and then I'll oust Ryan. I have Tally's permission to do that, but I want that confidential until I do it.
I understand. Welcome to the Arizona Territory. Any way that we can help, call on us, Mr. Burns.
Call me Chet. Nice to meet you, sir.
These transactions. Mercy me, I am going crazy sending wires, making deals with bankers, owners, and I don't know what all.
They rode out in the cool pre-dawn for Tom Flowers' place. He was ready, kissed his wife goodbye, swung into the saddle, and they were headed in a short lope for the escarpment off the mountain. The pack mule kept up, and aside from his brain, did well. On the brink, the first purple in the eastern sky appeared far off as they rode down the steep grade in the dim light of dawn. After the shallow Verde crossing, they headed northwest with Tom guiding them.
I know some places where the horses might be holed up. No guarantees. Ranch horses usually stay in contact with one another. Geldings will get run off by any wild mares by the stallion in charge.
By mid-morning, they'd covered lots of country. The discovery of some horse apples made hope rise in Chet. If they weren't simply Mustangs, they might be ranch horses. In the other case, they'd only find a band of wild ones. Tom rode up a rise while Chet and the boy dismounted to vent their bladders. He came back off the loose gravel slope and nodded.
I saw some horses I knew.
How many?
Maybe 30.
Good. How do we send them back to the ranch?
South. We aren't that far west yet.
Sounds like news I could stand. I don't want to drive them into the ranch today.
Whatever.
I'm worried, as spiteful as Ryan is, we'll have to watch the place so we don't burn it down in revenge. We get them close, they'll stay around long enough for us to recover them.
Be just like him to do that.
I'll head for the far side and swing around them.
Well, that's a good idea, Hank.
The boy left the mule's lead with him. In the distance, the various colored horses looked all right. This deal might work. With enough horses and workers, they could find the cattle left on the range with the ranch brand on them. This place would be no bargain, but he liked the range grass he'd seen, and there was some live water. Nothing like the hill country. Arizona was lots drier. Getting to the horses, they rode past a small group of cows and calves who scattered at their approach. Chet frowned at the black, mostly longhorn bulls trailing them. That hatchet-assed stud should have been worked on as a calf. How many more of them did he have?
How did you like that $200 bull?
Tom was riding stirrup to stirrup with him.
Ryan paid 200 bucks for him?
Great, Hereford stock, wasn't he?
He have pedigree papers for a Hereford bull?
Sure, bet you find them in a desk drawer at the house.
Ryan's figured all the angles. Longhorn stock is getting harder and harder to sell. That bull ain't worth 50 bucks in the market, and his offspring will sure be docked, and Ryan will pocket the difference.
The horses herded, the three men gathered up.
I counted up 33 horses.
Them horses don't look bad. One of them must have got hit by a rattler. His ankle's really swollen.
Let's hobble Jack here. We don't need a brain jackass to wake them at the ranch.
Heck took the hobbles out of the saddlebags, then he busied himself strapping them onto the mule's front legs. Before he left him, he checked them until he was satisfied the pack animal wouldn't go far.
Whoa, Jack. We won't forget you.
Good job, Heck. You'll make a packer yet. Tom, you think we only have part of the remuda?
Yeah, well, there may be more in the west. It wasn't all we had last year for Roundup.
Well, I hope they didn't see our dust at the ranch house.
We're higher up here than the ranch. That's why I stopped here. What now?
We ride in and evict Ryan along with his crew.
That might be fun.
We can look this bunch over when we get Ryan and his bunch off the ranch.
Oh, I heard the other day he sold the first cutting of alfalfa to some guy in Cottonwood.
No end to his business deals. Let's take a short break to loosen up and go and get him out.
Man, this is different country than Texas. I like it, but those mountains look tough to get over.
You'll get used to them. There's trails all over to get up them. You simply have to know the way.
I guess so. Chet, are we gonna have to kill that bunch down there at the ranch?
Heck, I hope they leave peacefully, but that's their choice. Don't be gun happy with that .30 caliber you're wearing.
Oh, I won't. Just curious.
We aren't looking for trouble, but we may get some.
When they came to the next edge, high above the ranch, the alfalfa field sparkled like a green painted patch. The timothy made a lighter stamp, and the corn was too short to notice. As for the big house and the cottonwood grove, they could only see the tile roof. Chet used his field glasses and saw little activity around the place. Coming in from the north might fool them. If no one noticed them, they would be a surprise. The long hillside they rode off was devoid of much brush. It had been cleared at one time to grow more grass, no doubt. Also, to have it open so the Apaches couldn't easily sneak up on them. Then Chet saw the small form of a woman using her hand for shade in the fenced garden and looking up at them. She left for the house on the run. Her wails sounded frantic above the wind in their faces. Soon a hatless man came back with her, and she pointed in a reckless manner in their direction. Chet handed the glasses to Tom.
Know him?
He's a new man Ryan must have hired.
Guess we won't be any surprise.
He reached behind into the scabbard and unlimbered his Winchester 44-40. The rifle in his hands was now loaded. He set the hammer on safety and put the rifle butt on his right leg.
If they shoot at us, head for some cover. Spread out.
They soon rode 40 feet apart, their horses dropping down, coming off the steep slope, and no shots had been fired. Chet felt any shooter would come to the back fence to get as close as he could before he shot, but there was no telling. His roan acted like he knew something was about to happen and bobbed his head a lot, making waves with his thick split mane. The pony was sure-footed, and Chet had the notion that if he needed him to bolt, he would in a split second. The house drew closer. A Mexican woman came out, looked at them. She disappeared back inside and reappeared, exposing less and less of herself, and her Spanish words became more audible to Chet.
See? Those hombres are still coming!
Yes, they were still coming. With a head toss, he sent Heck and Tom off to the side, expecting the report of a gun. In a few minutes, Heck and Tom were among the thick trunks of the cottonwoods.
You two stay here and back me.
Then he sent Roan on a hard run around to the yard gate, where he reined him up.
Who the hell are you?
A tall, unshaven cowboy looked hard-eyed at him.
Is Ryan here?
No, he's in town on business.
Unbuckle your gun and drop it gently on the floor, then kick it across the porch. Any wrong move and you better be wearing your funeral clothes.
Chet leveled the rifle at him.
Ruth, no!
He shrugged her off and did as he was told.
Now, all of you come out and stand with your faces to the wall. Hands pressed on the wall. Anyone tries anything will be shot. Otherwise, you can live. If you listen. Now get down on your knees. Good.
Four women, one pregnant, one a teenager, and two in their 30s, knelt with their hands on the wall.
What's your name?
Ralph Keys.
Ralph, go hitch two horses to a wagon and don't try anything. Bring it up here.
What for?
Oh, you're all leaving today, didn't I tell you? Tom, you accompany him. Shoot him if he tries anything. Who else is on the payroll?
Cowboy named Doug, and another they call Cal. I don't know their last names.
Where are they at right now?
I don't know. Ryan told me before he left to guard the house.
Tom, you and Heck watch for them coming in. When's Ryan coming back?
Tonight, I guess. He didn't tell me. Maybe these women know.
Chet had dismounted and Heck took his horse.
Put those three horses out of sight and come back to the house.
Yes, sir. I'm sure glad they all weren't here.
Chet nodded. This mess wasn't over yet either. He sent Keys with Tom, then climbed up the porch steps and spoke to the women.
You have a short while to get your personal things. Don't steal anything belongs to the ranch, or you will go to prison. I will check all of your things. Now, mucho andale.
¿Dónde vamos a ir?
Wherever you came from.
Gringo estúpido.
A sudden notion struck Chet. If Ryan had made so much money selling off ranch assets, where was it hidden? One of those women knew where he hid it, but it would be like pulling teeth to get them to tell. With them out of the room, Chet knelt before the cool hearth and reached inside on the ledge above the front opening. Nothing but soot in there. The fireplace was bricked, and he saw none that looked loose. Chances of him finding the hidden loot were slim, but the notion intrigued him. What could Ryan have spent it on? The amount of money he stole off the ranch must be a fortune. Where was it? The first woman came lugging a large blanket wrapped around her possessions into the main room.
Set your bag down and sit, señorita. What's your name? ¿Qué es su nombre?
Maria.
Bueno, Maria. You just sit there. Siéntate.
She nodded. Heck stuck his head in the door.
Wagon's hitched. I'll go get Jack and try to bring in the horses, huh?
Yes, and we can start checking them out. They should come on down here for you. There's plenty of hay in the barn to feed them lot.
I'll get them.
Fine. Be careful. We don't know where those two goons are.
Heck left the doorway, and Chet turned to see the older woman who had been crying, coming in with her things in two blankets.
The wagon ready? Then go load up.
He made a head toss at the open door for those two. They acted deaf, but soon moved to the opening.
You stragglers, get down here now!
They appeared and bounced their possessions down the stairs, two-handed. He stopped them at the base and made them take out the brass candlestick holders and a few other items he felt came from the house. Chet pointed to the doorway.
Vamoose!
They obeyed and dragged their remaining loot down the front steps to the gate. Keys loaded them and their things into the back of the wagon.
Deliver that wagon to Frey's stable. Tell him that this is my wagon and he is to take care of the animals until I get back there. And if you don't, I'll make sure the sheriff hangs you for being a horse dealer.
Ryan owes me money.
I'm sure he'll pay out of his own pocket. Now get the hell out of here and don't come back.
The shots came from behind the house.
Where's Heck?
Chet and Tom ran to the house in time to see Heck, his horse, and the mule making a run across the hillside to get off the slope. And two riders shooting their pistols at him. They must be the other two, he decided, taking a sight down the barrel. The riders, seeing him and the long gun, took wings for cover.
I hate to shoot damn horses, but I feared they might get lucky and hit Heck with one of their six guns. Let's go see where they went.
There was nothing else to do if they hadn't turned tail.
Heck slid the bay to a stop.
I had taken Jack's hobbles off when they came charging down out of a draw. I knew I better forget the horses and get my butt down here.
You did all right, son. In fact, you did wonderful.
Tom looked where the two riders had disappeared.
I've been wondering where Ryan kept his money.
Danged if I know.
The safe in the one room. Chet had noticed that the day before when they inspected the house. He wanted to kick himself.
Heck, head for the house. Go on back and check that safe. If it's been cleaned out, those damn women took it.
Heck raced for the front door. And in a flash was back in the doorway.
They must have got it, Chet.
You two watch for the others. I'm going after them.
He jumped on Heck's bay and charged off after them. There was no way they were getting away with that money. When he hit the road, he could make out the wagon's dust ahead. Topping a rise, he saw the women look back and the one sitting beside Keys began beating on the horses. But it wasn't even a horse race. He was soon beside the team and drew the near horse down by the bridle to a halt. When Chet dismounted and tried to get on the rig, the pregnant one went to trying to beat him with a buggy whip. But he had no mercy and jerked it from her hands. When he climbed up to save being hit again, he pulled her off the seat while she still struggled with him. Tired of her fighting, he let her fall to the ground. No way to treat a lady, but she wasn't one. He brought out his large knife, hers first. He slashed the blanket open, and the paper money fluttered everywhere.
Now open yours. You got any money in them, you'll go to prison too.
No money, senor! No money!
They opened their blankets to show him underwear, Sunday dresses, a towel or two, and some toiletries.
Fine. Now sit back down.
He used one of the woman's slips by tying the top end and began to gather the money by the handfuls. He stuffed it inside his bag. By then, Heck and Tom, who had saddled horses, were there to help him.
How much money is here?
A lot.
How did you figure he had so much?
Ryan's been stealing for a long time from Tally. No one checked on him. He had the run of the house. Before Tally came to visit, I bet Ryan cleaned it out, and when he left, Ryan went back to using it.
Why was it open?
The women wouldn't dare touch it, and they'd tell him if anyone else did so that they didn't get the blame. He probably had it shut, but the combination wasn't locked. That's what she went after instead of her personal things.
She says you broke her arm.
Load her up. Keys can take her to a doctor.
Tom and Heck boosted her up and back.
Take her to the doctor, Keys.
How much you reckon all that money's worth?
I have no idea, but we can count it and wait on Ryan. I
never counted that much of anything before.
Well, we're going to improve your math tonight. And no taking your boots off to use your toes to count.